Something I learned at the National, before I get into the message I'm going to share with you. This young man, he was a student in this anthropology class. And anyway, the professor was known to be really a hard grader, and he never gave an A. Nobody had ever gotten an A out of his course. And so this young man decided he was going to get an A. So he studied all the chapters that they had covered during that semester. He went over all the notes time and time again during the class sessions. And he just knew he was going to get an A. Well, the day came for the test to be given. And the professor had a curtain over the test questions. And anyway, he pulled the curtain back, and it had 10 sets of bird feed or feet. And he said, "You have to name the birds by their feet." And so this young man jumped up and said, "You can't do that. I've studied hard. I've studied all the notes. I've studied all the chapters. You just can't do that. That's not fair." The professor said, "Sit down. That's the test. That's what I'm going to give." And he kept on, hollering at the professor. And the professor finally says, "Young man, what's your name?" And he wouldn't answer his name. He just said, "You can't do this. This is not fair. I've studied hard and long. I want to make an A in this course. And you're not treating us fair. This is just not fair. Young man, what is your name?" Well, this went on back and forth for a little while, and finally, exasperation, the young man sat down in his chair, kicked off his flip-flops, stuck his feet up in the air, and he said, "You tell me." Aren't you glad the Lord knows your name? Oh, mercy. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 6. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And then in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I've shared this story, but I think it's apropos for what I'm going to speak on this morning. During a flight from New York City to Los Angeles, the captain made this announcement. He said, "Our number 4 engine has just blown. However, there's no need to panic. We ought to be able to complete our flight on 3 engines. And besides, we have 4 preachers on board." An 86-year-old woman was on the flight. She called the flight attendant and said, "Ma'am, would you mind telling the captain that I'd feel a whole lot better if we had 4 engines and 3 preachers?" I'm afraid there's probably a little bit of that skepticism in all of us. We feel better and we feel more confident as long as we know things are going well. But when things start to fall apart and when we're called upon to have faith, we get a little bit on edge. I mean, even though we understand that the Christian life is a life of faith and that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, still yet most of us like to see. We had our preferences. We'd like to be able to see where we're going and then know how we're going to get there. And yet our text reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, walking by sight means never having to trust God. And understandably, we know that does not please the Lord. Now, the Christian life is a life of faith all the way from start to finish. The Bible said, "By grace through faith that we are saved," in Ephesians 2:8. Aren't you glad for the grace of God that reached all the way down to where you were? Picked you up out of sin, washed you white as snow when you exercised believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to live by faith each day. God didn't save us to do nothing, didn't save us to sit on the stool of do nothing and just come to church and enjoy the comfortable surroundings, be fed and go home, and that's the sum total of all that's required of us. That's not what God intended. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. God's blessings come by faith, and he blesses those that are faithful. Now, it ought to thrill us when God thrusts us out into some unknown situation where we have to walk by faith and we have to trust him. And I can tell you there's no better living than that. In fact, the Bible gives us this principle in an illustration in Malachi chapter 3. He tells us, and this has to do with tithing, but it covers the whole spectrum of the Christian life. He said, prove me and see. You know, he had just chided them because they had robbed God in tithes and offerings. And he said, prove me and see. That is, put me to the test and you will find out that I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you'll not be able to contain. And then he says, I will restrict the devourer for your sake. But in all of life, if we'll just prove God, put him to the test, God will always deliver. He will always be faithful to do exactly what he has promised. Trusting in the Lord ought to be the most joyous thing in our life, for we're far better off when we're leaning on the Lord than we are when we're leaning on our own understanding. When we're depending on self, you can only go as far as self can take you. But when we're depending on the Lord, we can go as far as God can take us, and we know that's a whole lot better. I'm trusting in the Lord this morning that he will take me through this uneven world and take me to the other side victorious and welcome me home. You see, I believe that every child of God has that blessed hope, and we're walking by faith in order that we might be able to hear those words, well done. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about faith. I guess a good question to ask in the very onset is, what is biblical faith? As far as I know, there's not one single verse in the Bible that just gives us the definition of faith. But rather, there are numerous scriptures, and when we join them together, they give us a good definition of faith. Now, our text here in Hebrews 11 says at the very heart of that definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And without faith, without this faith, we cannot please God. Now, this word substance carries an idea of solid ground. You know, when you're walking, you like to know that, especially when it's dark, that you've got something solid under you. Peter Marshall one time told the story when he was back in Scotland, where that he had been raised and he spent some time, and he went out that night on the hillside. And if you know anything about Scotland, there's a lot of hills and valleys and cliffs. He said, I was walking out on the hillside, and I knew that there were some cliffs out there. And he said, I was walking, and something said, Peter, Peter. And he said, I kept on walking. It said, Peter. And he said, I stopped, and I fell down on my knee. And I reached out, and right in front of me, there was a cliff. And he said, if I'd have taken another step, I would have plunged to my death. So I remind you this morning that walking by faith is trusting the Lord. It's just simply doing what the Lord tells us to do. And if we do that, we're in good hands. You see, we'll never get into trouble when we do the faith thing. And God will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us when we're following him. Aren't you glad to know this morning that by faith that we can go all the way home to heaven? Can you imagine a God that loves us so much that he'll take us up out of sin and wash us white as snow when we're unlovely and unfit to be loved, but he loves us anyway, and he takes and washes us white as snow and gives us the strength and the wherewithal that we can live the Christian life, and he takes us all the way through the journey. He does not leave us nor forsake us. He takes us all the way to the journey's end, and we hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Wouldn't it be an awful thing this morning to know that when you die, you just pass out of existence? Wouldn't it be awful to be like an animal that when you die, you just simply fade away? There's nothing left. Aren't you glad this morning that we have a God that will take us all the way home, and he has provided for us when we get to the end of life's journey, a home in heaven that he's prepared for those that love him. Now, it's when we try to go on our own and do our own thing that we get into trouble and we get away from God. Sometimes we think, well, I know what I need to do, and we think we're smarter than God. But I'm here to tell you, you better do exactly what God tells you to do. It's just like kind of going to the doctor. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't always like to take all the medicines that they give me. But you go to the doctor and you pay that doctor money to tell you what's wrong with you and what you need. And so if you go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription, he says, you take this for a week and you're going to be better. You'd be foolish not to take the medicine. Well, the Word of God tells us how to live. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. It may not always be convenient to walk God's way. It may be that there are times we think, well, Lord, are you sure? But if you'll walk by faith, God will give you victory and he'll take you all the way home. Well, faith is believing in a solid rock, God, and hoping for that which he has for us that will help us to be exactly what he wants us to be. God is trying to mold us and make us into the vessel that he wants us to be. Now, the second word here is evidence, and it carries the idea of convincing proof. In other words, the one who has faith exhibits a convincing proof that he believes or she believes in a solid rock, God, and our life reflects that. You see people that say, well, preacher, I've got faith. Well, show me your faith by your works. You see, if you have faith, faith will reproduce itself in faithful living. You'll read your Bible. You'll pray. You'll come to church. You'll serve God. You'll have him first in your life if you are a child of God that walks by faith. Now, this word substance has to do with the surety of God's ability and his reliability based on everything that he is. Now, we know God is omnipotent, that he's all-powerful. We know he's omniscient. He knows everything. We also know that he's omnipresent. He is always present everywhere at the same time. And we know that this God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, we know that he is trustworthy. Whatever he's promised us, he'll do. Now, he told us in 1 John 1:9, that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that when you went to the altar, whenever that was in your life, and I know that all of you here have had an experience with the Lord of salvation, and when you went to the altar and you asked the Lord to come into your heart and life, you believed that God would do what he promised. Is anybody disappointed? Has God ever failed to do what he promised? But aren't you glad this morning that he reached down, picked you up out of sin, washed you white as snow? He did what he promised. And now then, because you are a child of the King, he wants you to go on in the Christian life to do what he has told you to do. He'll take you safely home, if you will. Well, the people who claim to have faith but who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ personally have only a form of faith, and that does not glorify God. Now, I know, and I've mentioned this a little bit lately, but there are folks that say they're Christian. They don't ever go to church. They say they're Christians. They don't ever read the Bible. They say they're Christians, but they don't pray. They say they're Christians, but they don't live that way. They don't talk that way. They don't act that way. They don't walk that way. Amen. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but only those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Well, we live in a day when there's a name it and claim it kind of faith. It's just simply positive thinking. We have no right to claim anything unless God has named it. In fact, biblical faith is actually our response to that which God has already named and claimed for us, that which is the will of God that's revealed by His Spirit and by His Word. I'm here to tell you, God never gives you any direction that does not coincide with His Word. The Holy Spirit will never do anything that does not magnify Christ. Well, faith believes. Faith believes the convincing. Well, in fact, our faith is a convincing faith. Faith sees the invisible. It was Stephen's faith that saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father in heaven when he was being stoned to death. You remember, Stephen got up and he preached. And he preached a hard message, and the leadership, the Sanhedrin Council, the Jews were there, those in leadership, and they listened to what Stephen had to say. And the Bible said they got so enraged at the end of his sermon at what he was saying, the fact that he accused them of putting Jesus to death. And they became so enraged, the Bible said they fell on him and gnashed on him with their teeth. And then they took him outside the city where they stoned him. And Stephen looked up and he said, I see the heavens open. And I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. And then the Bible tells us as he came to the end of his life, and he knew the stones were taking the life from him, he said, Father, lay not this sin to the charge. He was a man that walked by faith. It was Moses' faith that saw him who was invisible and caused him to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season with the Egyptians. You see, I'm convinced that Moses saw beyond the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm convinced that he saw beyond the wilderness journey and the crossing of the Jordan River and the claiming of the promised land. I'm convinced that he was looking down the road and he was seeing a place that God had prepared for them and for us eternally. He was able to see the invisible. Faith also hears the inaudible. Remember Saul of Tarsus, and he was standing there as a witness against Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death, and he never got over that. And Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus road heading to persecute more Christians and put them to death. And the Bible said God spoke to him and a light shined down upon him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now those with him could not hear, but Saul heard. And he bowed down upon his knees, prostrating himself before God and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Jesus illustrated this truth when he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Brethren, we need to open our ears to the Word of God. Let God's Word speak to our heart. Let God direct us. Let God move us in the right direction as we walk by faith. The Pharisees, he said of them, in hearing, they hear not. Or they heard with their ears, but they rejected what they heard. That's what a lot of folks are doing today. You see, the scripture reminds us that there'll be those that will hear, but they won't hear. They'll see, but they won't see. And their hearts will become wax gross to where that the word of God doesn't penetrate anymore. I remind you that there's a lot of folks that are hardening their heart, but he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, faith also thinks the unthinkable. The three Hebrew children said, "Our God whom we serve is well able to deliver us from the furnace of fire." I can just kind of visualize that they were thrust into that furnace. And the king asked, said, "Take a look and see how things are going in there." In other words, he wanted to make sure they were being burned up and consumed. And the man came back and reported, "Did we not throw three in there? But there's a fourth that's likened unto the Son of God." And I'm convinced the Lord God came down that day to share with them and to protect them. I don't think they had a hair on their head that was singed. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Faith accomplishes the impossible by faith. Sarah conceived in her old age. She was 90 years of age. She bare a child. It was the heir of promise. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I just kind of believe that Enoch one day was walking with God, and tradition says that they would walk together and fellowship together in the cool of the evening, and they were walking, and the Lord and Enoch got to talking so much that they got closer to God's home than his home. The Lord said, "Enoch, why don't you just come on home with me?" Enoch said, "I think I will." He was translated that he would not see death. You know, I don't mind telling you, that'd be a pretty good way to go, wouldn't it? Be a pretty good way to go just to have the Lord come and rapture us out, you know, take us home to be with him for all eternity. Jesus says all things are possible to him who believes. Then faith inherits the indestructible. Abraham, the Bible said, "Look for that eternal city with foundations whose builder and maker was God." He said, "I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger down here. This is not where I'm going to live. This is not my long home, but I'm going to that place that God's provided for me. I'm going to that city." Paul anticipated a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. And he said, "Not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." And then we want to look at this convincing faith. How far does it reach? And what is the aim of this faith? Number one, from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us that it cleanses all kinds of sins. You remember David, the king, a man after God's own heart? David committed adultery. He was complicit in the murder of Uriah the Hittite. He lied, he was deceitful, and yet God forgave him. Sarah laughed at God's promise when she said, or he told her that she would have give birth to a child in her old age of being 90. Noah disgraced himself because he got drunk. Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister, not his wife. Moses lost his temper. He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock and giving God glory. And yet not one word of failure is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Their faith plugged them into God's forgiveness, and God cleansed them. Do we want a God of a second chance? Amen. We've got him. We've got one. He's the God of the second chance. It changes all kinds of people, men and women, young and old, king and commoner, gifted and ordinary, Jew and Gentile. You can find them all in Hebrews chapter 11. God is no respecter of persons. Then he conquers all kinds of problems. True story was told out in West Texas that one of the oil rigs caught on fire. And they put out an appeal, the oil company did, for some fire department to come in and put out the fire. Several had tried unsuccessfully. They said all of a sudden they looked up and over the hill came this old fire engine truck that it was old and dilapidated and came over the hill at a high rate of speed. Folks began to move and they went through the picket line and rolled all the way down to where the fire was blazing. They said these guys jumped out of the fire truck. It was the volunteer fire department from No Trees, Texas. I have been there. And there are no trees. But they got out and they started fighting that fire furiously. And after a little while, they got it put out. And they came back up to where the crowd was at. And they was patting them on the back and clapping hands. And the guy that presented the check, he said, "Tell me, what are you going to do with this $50,000 in No Trees, Texas? Volunteer fire department. What are you going to do?" He said, "The first thing I'm going to do is get the brakes on that old truck fixed." Our faith conquers all kinds of problems, right? Noah faced the problem of ridicule when he obeyed God and built the ark for the saving of his household, and his faith was credited for the saving of his entire family. Daniel faced the problem of the lion's den because he refused not to go out as he had three times a day on his porch, point towards Jerusalem, and pray. He was thrust into the lion's den, but God, who saw his faith, protected him, and he was brought out of the lion's den without any harm. And then it releases all kinds of potential, and I'm going to stop here. But David went out as a young boy to meet Goliath. And I can see him as he looked at all the soldiers, his brothers and the other soldiers. And he looked and he saw them and none of them would go out and fight Goliath. I mean, he was 9.5 feet tall. He was a warrior from his youth up. And David said, "I'll go and fight him that has defiled and defied the living God of Israel. I'll go and fight him because God will give the victory." He had enough faith to believe that. So he goes by the brook and he reaches down, picks up 5 smooth stones, and they tried to give him all the armor of the king and try to put that armor on him, give him a sword and a shield. And he said, I can't take that. He said, I fought the bear and the lion with the slingshot. And God gave the victory there. So he goes out and he picks up those 5 smooth stones. He only needed one. But he put that stone in his slingshot. And I can just visualize when Goliath looked out and saw that young man, maybe of a ruddy complexion, a young man that didn't look like much, but he didn't know that he had the power of God in his hand. He didn't know that he had a missile from God in his hands and that he was going to breathe his last in just a few moments. But he took that slingshot and he thrust that rock and it went into the air and he had his helmet on and it covered a lot of his face. But you know, that rock found the exact spot that was unprotected. And he dropped down dead. He took the sword and severed his head from his body. God gave the victory that day. Walking by faith. Can God still do that today? Can God give us victory today? Yes, he can. Does God want us to live in victory? You bet he does. Let's bow for prayer.